The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Advice coming your way. Right now, though, I want to talk about the Oireachtas Committee voting last night to recommend legislation be introduced in this country that would allow people to access assisted dying services in limited situations where that person is deemed to have only 6 months to live by virtue of illness or disease or infirmity. With me to discuss, Tom Curran, the Right to Die campaigner, and Eric Kelleher, who's a consultant liaison psychiatrist and a member of the College of Psychiatrists Human Rights and Ethics Committee. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. Tom, as somebody who's campaigned for so long in this field, is this a step in the right direction? Is that how you might describe it?
Well, I suppose, yes, it is a step forward, but I suppose I'm realistic in that, not pessimistic, but I'm realistic in that this is only a recommendation. There's no legislation before the House at this stage, and I suppose it depends on the legislation and who drafts that legislation, whether it's one of the parties, the existing parties, or in the new government, because it's unlikely that anything will happen. So, we have to wait for the legislation to be there and then for that to be passed. So there's a long way to go yet. It is a step in the right direction, but it's not done yet, if that's the way to put it.
No, it is not done. Now, it should be pointed out, if people are wondering at home, there is no need in a situation like this for Ireland to have a referendum. The Supreme Court have previously ruled that this is a matter for the legislature. So it might not be quite as long a process as some might have thought. But yes, I appreciate the point. There's still quite a few steps to go. What do you make then, Tom, of the recommendation of the time limit, the 6 month limit?
Well, this is a situation that I suppose I personally have always, and myself and Mary, I mean, people will remember Mary, and my whole involvement of this came about because of Mary and her, I suppose, feeling that she had a right to decide for herself. That the time limit is very difficult because, for instance, when we were going to the Supreme Court, when we went to the High Court first, the High Court asked Mary's neurologist to give some sort of indication of her life expectancy. And he said he couldn't, not with a neurological disease such as MS. He said, he's not a cancer specialist, but cancer is much easier to diagnose the life expectancy of a person. But with something like MS or motor neuron or motor neuron might be a bit easier, or Parkinson's, or any of the neurological problems, because they progress or digress with different people in different ways. It's very difficult to give a life expectancy. And therefore, I just don't feel that can work.
So you suspect, Tom, had a recommendation been made along these lines many years ago and had it been legislated for, that Mary would not have been able to access it because she wouldn't have had a physician to say she firmly has less than 6 months to live.
Exactly. And my judgment on whether legislation is correct or not is, and in a very simple phrase, would Mary qualify? I mean, Mary started all this off, if that's the way to put it. And if legislation is brought in that Mary would not have qualified for, and even the Supreme Court in their judgment said that if they could do something specifically for Mary, they would, but it wasn't their power and they passed it back to the Oireachtas. Now, that would suggest that even our highest court in the land felt that Mary had a right to make that choice for herself. And if the legislation comes in and it doesn't give a person like Mary that right, as I say, it would Mary qualify, then we fail to a certain extent. And I don't mean to go on, but this is where the slippery slope thing comes in. If we don't get it right in the first place and it has to be changed or extended, then the people immediately start shouting, oh yeah, you got it this far, and then now the slippery slope is changing. So why not get it right in the first place?
Listen, Tom, stay with us. I want to go to Eric Kelleher, who I mentioned is a consultant liaison psychiatrist, and he's a member of the College of Psychiatrists Human Rights and Ethics Committee. Eric, you're welcome to the show. I think, is it fair to maybe describe you as having concerns about us going down this road? And if so, what are those concerns?
I am very concerned, Kieran, about today's media reports that the Joint Committee is getting ready to recommend that this legislation be introduced. I work in the emergency department assessing suicidal patients and on the wards and in outpatients with patients with a terminal illness who suffer life-limiting disorders such as cancer and motor neuron disease. And I see very little difference, if any difference, in the suffering that patients show in each of those areas. We know that patients with physical illnesses have high rates of depression and anxiety. And that actually that the rates of self-harm and completing suicide are really high in the first year after a cancer diagnosis, for example. That's why we have a psych oncology program. It's why our suicide prevention strategy, Connecting for Life, recognizes that patients with a physical illness are at high risk of ending their lives due to coexisting depression. So I'm really concerned about this type of legislation, that it reframes how we will approach somebody who has a life-limiting condition and expresses a wish to be dead. You know, I think patients could easily be shunted down a path of, you know, a voluntary, inverted commas, assisted death, when in reality there may be many other factors, biological, social, psychological factors that are influencing that decision. And in changing the legislation, and this is something that the College of Psychiatrists and the College of Physicians made very clear in the Oireachtas hearings, that this is not a safe process. There are so-called safeguards that can be introduced, but you know, they cannot protect everybody. And the reality is that a proportion of people who have coexisting depression, for example, you know, maybe that may influence their decision making in this process. And that really concerns me and colleagues in the College of Psychiatrists.
So you mentioned kind of safeguards being put in place. One of those safeguards, as the Oireachtas Committee might describe it, is this idea that it would only be available to people who have a firm kind of diagnosis or prognosis of less than 6 months to live. Is that it doesn't sound like that is enough to satisfy you?
No, certainly not. I mean, at the moment, if somebody who has a cancer diagnosis, whether it's terminal or otherwise, expresses a wish to die, a suicidal ideation, either that their mood is low or whatever their mental health complaint is, they refer to a psychiatrist or a member of the psych oncology team. And that is how we approach it. We robustly explore the reasons why somebody is experiencing that thought. It isn't just limited to somebody with cancer, of course. I mean, I see lots of patients with lots of different physical disorders. And for patients from my experience who have expressed that wish, usually there are often, you know, other factors at play, social factors, for example, you know, lack of, you know, carers being available to go in and support somebody to live on at home, you know, lack of access to palliative care. There are clear risks that we reframe how that person, once they express the wish to be dead, if the law changes, how we will approach somebody in that situation. And we can end up normalizing this experience when at present, you know, we approach it in a different way. I would also say, Kieran, I think it's really important to point out that this is a leaked report. We haven't seen the final report, but everybody on both sides of the argument, shall we say, agreed that greater investment was needed in social supports, in palliative care supports.
Yeah.
And in this leaked information that's come out in the last 24 hours, there is no reference to that. We've heard today all the challenges there are in the University Hospital of Limerick, for example. I'm only using that because it was in the media today.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is not an equal, you know, healthcare system. People do not have choice easily in the healthcare system at the moment. If the law changes, why one person might choose an assisted death could be profoundly different to why another person might choose the same option. So I'm sure both sides would agree that there needs to be far greater investment in our palliative care supports, in mental health supports, in social supports.
Yeah, listen, it's a fair observation to make. We might give the committee members the benefit of the doubt. I think the full detail of the recommendation is going to be published the week after next, maybe late next week. No, I think the week after next, March 20th. So perhaps it will include, as you say, a call from all sides of the debate, from all viewpoints, for much greater investment in palliative care in our hospitals and in our communities. Tom, if I can come back to you before we wrap things up. I mean, you used the phrase, we need to get this right the first time. In your mind, what does that look like? What does getting it right now look like?
Well, we're not the first person to tackle this problem, or first country to tackle this problem. There are countries all over the world, well, lots of countries that have tackled this before. And the people, to me, that have got it right are the Swiss. The Swiss were the first to introduce this, and they brought it in on a civil rights basis, not on a medical basis. That it's a civil right for a person. It's a person's own life. And there, we hear very little criticism. We hear criticism of Holland. We hear criticism of Canada. We hear criticism of America, Australia, New Zealand now. But we very seldom hear criticism of Switzerland because it works. So there is a very good example of what we can do. And one thing that I would say is that denying a person their rights because we don't have a proper medical system, to me, is not right.
Wrong
doesn't make another. Just because we're failing our patients doesn't mean that we should not allow them to have choice.
Well, listen, this is, as you both alluded to, kind of leaked detail of what is going to be recommended in much more detail on the 20th of March. And I'm sure there'll be many debates and discussions like this between now and then and thereafter. So I'm sure we will be talking to you both in that regard further down the line. Thank you for your time today. Thank you to Tom Curran, the Right to Die campaigner. Thank you to Eric Kelleher, consultant liaison psychiatrist and member of the College of Psychiatrists, Human Rights and Ethics.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.